We're going to begin, actually, with the fifth pasuk of the third parak. And Be'ezras Hashem, in the future shiur, we're going to go back to the earlier psukim at the beginning of the parak. The fifth pasuk, B'tach el Hashem b'chol libecha, ve'el binoscha al tisha'ein. B'tach el Hashem b'chol libecha, ve'el binoscha al tisha'ein. It sounds very extreme, this pasuk. The pasuk seems to be saying that you should not trust in your own instincts, your own intelligence, your own capacities, but trust in Hashem with your entire heart. Well, Gabe, what are we saying then? Are we talking about Hashgacha in general? Are we talking about Sheduchim? Are we talking about Parnosa? The pasuk is very, very generic. In the Bir Hagra, the Goyin has a very beautiful taich in a Gemara, which happens to be in two places in Shas, in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, as well as in Maseches Megillah. And we want to delve into that a little bit. The Goyin says, B'tach l'Hashem b'chol libcha, haynu sheyeh libcha sholem b'midas habitochon v'lo b'miktsas halev. What the Goyin, of course, means here is that there are certain midos where there's a scale, let's say, from 0 to 100, and you can hold somewhere in the middle, and you're on that madrega. Bitochain is actually such a mida. What do I mean? The Brisker Rav has a pshat on the pasuk that is very well known to us because we say it in Chodesh Elul, Oid Ma'at, Hinei Yomim Boim. Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yametz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem. And he asks, of course, the obvious question, why the redundancy? What is the repetition of the second, v'kaveh el Hashem? And he says the following, and it's one of the rare times that he gives a marshal. There are two brothers. One is extremely wealthy and the other one happens to be poor. And the wealthy brother was a tzaddik, and he loved the poor brother very much. And whatever it was, whatever the occasion, a chasana, or to build a house, or whatever it is that the poor brother needed, the rich brother was at his side, supporting him, encouraging him, and paying for all of his expenses. One day, the brother comes to him, to the poor brother, and he says, listen, this is not a derech, because it's namu de kisufa. You're constantly dependent upon me. And einochanami, I will always provide for you, as long as I can. But much better, I thought I'll lend you a huge amount of money, a lump sum, and you will open up your own business. And if the Eibishter shines with his chayin chesed and rachamim on you, you will be able to stand on your own two feet. And kachava. So he lent him $1 million. He opened up a business. The business succeeded. It thrived. And he became in his own right a wealthy man. A remarkable thing occurred. This relationship that they had before, they never had again. Because they did not share in the events, they didn't share in the moments of misery and despair, there wasn't that ava, ve'achva, ve'sholem, ve'reyus that there was before. Simply because he didn't need his brother anymore. And because he didn't need his brother and he didn't have to depend upon him, there was inevitably a distance. Zokta Briskerov, the Ribbono Shel Olam always pays back mida keneged mida. Now the question is, what is a payment for bitachon? After all, the Baiteach says, "Alz v'sichtav hobm habich fun Ribbono Shel Olam." That's the Baiteach. I have what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has meant for me. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to reward him? By giving him things? In other words, the real Baiteach is the Sameach B'chalkai. Memela, he is already the Ashir. So what are you going to give him that will make him more sameach b'chelka than he is already? So how do you reward a b'teach? So the only thing you can give a b'teach is a greater measure of bitach. But why doesn't the Ribbono Shel Olam, he says, reward him that he doesn't need the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore? Give him everything. He says, because that would be a punishment. The Kotzke said exactly the same words in an entirely different context. Everybody knows this word from the Kotzke. The Nochosh was cursed just like Adam was cursed and just like Chava was cursed. We understand the curse of Bezeah Satecha Toich Alechem. We understand the curse of Be'etzev Tel Dibonim. What is the curse of Ofer Toich Al Kol Yemei Chayecha? He has Ofer wherever he goes. His parnosa is guaranteed. Zok de Kotzke, the Ribbono Shel Olam said to the Nochosh, you should never have to depend on me, so I don't have to hear you cry out to me, and I don't have anything to do with you. He gives him everything he needs as Olgol Shavim Satan. He doesn't have to do with him ki yuzeh. That is the biggest klala of all. Comes out, the Briska Rav says, that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it so that the person would never need HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore, it would create a tremendous merchak, like the Maisa with the Gvir. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reward the person with a histalkus of the tzorech, but rather with an increment of the tzorech. Namely, that if there ever is a nisayon, if there ever is a moment that the person should be able to mizdabek and be mischavered to the Ribbono Shel Olam even more. The midah of bitachon that he had yesterday might not suffice for the crises that might come up. Why should crises come up? The Briska Rav is saying they come up so that the hiskashrus with the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes even greater. The dependency is greater. You'll see in many, many mekoyres, if you look carefully, that the idea of a person's nisyonos and a person's suffering is very often not perceived as a punishment, but punkt fakert. Even though the Gemara says, lo'yheim v'lo'yschara, by Yisurim. But Yisurim and the bitachon that results from a person that says, I'm oymed b'nisayon, and I trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's v'tzicha zayin gut, as the Eibishter wills it, this is a matana of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's how he touched up the pasuk. If you are zeicha to be kavei al Hashem on Madrega 1, the reward will be chazak v'yamitz libecha, so that you should be able to be v'kavei al Hashem on Madrega 2. You'll ask, and that's, I'm just repeating myself, you'll ask, why do I need a Madrega 2? It's a genug. What do I need bitachon? I don't need bitachon when everything is simple and perfect. Then you think you don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam anymore. I mean, I have it already. There's a very cute joke about this lady that was looking for a parking spot. And she's going crazy. And soon she's going to lose her appointment altogether. And she can't find the parking. So sie dreht sich. And finally, in desperation, she calls up her daughter and she says, Sprinze daven for me. I can't find a spot. 2 seconds later, she says, Sprinze, stop davening. I found the spot. Never mind. You don't have to daven. The person, when he has, he doesn't chap that it comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, it's very interesting. There was an anti-Semite by the name of Voltaire. Voltaire, mamash agafelach anti-Semit, and a real kaifer, a meridika kaifer. I mean, even Lishitosam, he was a kaifer. So he wrote a book called Candide. And in this book, he has a meridika line. And it's mamash the line of the Kotzker, except Moshe Kapoyer, mamash mina kotze el akotze. It's nerev ayim to see the two in contrast. The amensh can fashtein was its main to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the Welt, and what it means to be without him, and how another person, another human being, can have the same attitude upside down mamish to deny the Eibishter in Gan. So he wanted to make fun of the people who are religious because they are crying out to Hashem. He wanted to make fun of the people who come to the Ribbono Shel Olam because they need him. It was not consistent with his philosophy. It's like the opiate of the people, religion, you know. So this is Karl Marx, this is given Voltaire. What is Voltaire? Comes to a place called El Dorado. The whole group of people coming to a place called El Dorado. El Dorado, the streets are paved with gold and everything is perfect. The sun is always shining, the rivers are always crystal clear, you know, such a mockery. And the streets are paved with gold and you never have anything but the very best of the best. There's nothing that you need. There's nothing that you're missing. Everything is there for you, for the taking. Without tircha, without nisyonis, without travail, El Dorado. So they're coming and they're looking around and they get the guided tour. And suddenly one of the visitors notices there's something missing. There are no churches. So they ask, my high. Even the littlest town here in America, you know, the littlest village, they have three things. A bar, a church, and a cemetery. Is a chapash tezach. So they said, what's going on over here? So he answers, the guide, the tour guide, the citizen of El Dorado answers, it's in French, but I'll spare you the French. We don't pray here. There's nothing that we need that we have to pray for. He's describing the Nachash. It's the same word as the Kotzke. It's mamish the same word. But the Kotzke says, under Ribbono Shel Olam, the Gan of Eden is not worth anything without Hashem. Life is not worth anything without Hashem. So what the Briskerov was saying is that when you need the Ribbono Shel Olam and you are trusting in him, that creates an unbelievable hiskashrus, which will not happen if you don't feel the need. So that reward for bitachon is a stronger measure of bitachon, not to fall apart. That if the nisayim becomes greater and harder, you should still say, I trust in Hashem. Whatever Hashem's ratzon is, I accept it. So kavel Hashem, chazak v'yamitz libecho v'kavel Hashem. Zok the gra. Shiyya libcha sholem b'midas habitachon v'lo b'miktas halev. Is that a steerer to what I just said? I don't think so. I think what the Goyen is talking about, if you look at a graph, you speak about horizontal and vertical. What the Goyen is talking about is not the depth of your bitachon. It's how much the bitachon permeates your personality. The Chazon Ish has an expression, if I remember correctly, the person could be a metzaptziv bitachon. Everything is going well. You walk into the store is flourishing. And you ask him, nu, Rabbi Yankiv, how's it going? Ah, the Eibishter is so good to me. Then he describes how a person goes, moves into the neighborhood, and opens up a store across the street. When he hears about it already, he doesn't say to himself, Ein malchus achas negaz v'chaver tokim alay nima. Ein hakadosh baruch hu mekapeach schar kol beria. It's all right. But he says, Oive, what's going to be? And then from then on, he describes a spiral downward of a person descending into Lashon Hara and Rechilus and Mesiris to the government and Talveswas and trying to destroy the other person, Min HaShoivish, because Chas V'Sholem, you should touch him a Kiyuzeh. This is such a person as a Mitzavtsev Bitochen. When it's gate good, he talks the language of Bitochen. He's not really a Boiteach. A Boiteach B'Hashem is Ananda Zachin Gans. And in that same context, he talks about Yosef HaTzadik. The Chazon Ish asks that the Medrash about Yosef HaTzadik seems to be Soiser itself minei ubet. Because the Pasuk says, Asher Yish Asher Yiftach Bashem, Zeh Yosef. So they're describing Yosef as the Baal Bitochot. But like Ponel Rehovim, he doesn't look to Shakronim and Shatei Chazov and so on, Zeh Yosef. Because he listened to He had trust in whom? In the Sar HaMashkim. Right? When you get out, you should daman me. So the Chazon Ish asks, my high, he is the Baal Bitochen, and yet it's a Chesaron in Bitochen. He said on Yosef's Madrega, when you think about it for a minute, and I was Moisef and Noifach Mishali, when you think about this fellow, he's a Mitzri. What are the chances for these Rishoyim and Shakronim that they'll ever repay a favor? It's a Chetzamidah from HaKoras HaToiva. Mecha Taisi should have any Shaychas to it. Out of sight, out of mind. So you helped me once. So who cares about you? So that's considered a thrashing in the waters, Ke'ilu. If somebody falls into the water, and he knows that the person who's standing right there near him on the shore is a very well-trained lifeguard, who in 2 seconds will jump into the water and save you. So you, but you get so anxious and so unnerved because you think that you're lost. Looking for the absurd is a simon of a nekuda of chesaron and bitachon in the greatest Baal Bitachon. That's leipon el rahab. And my little neifach mishali was very simple. I think that a person should imagine that Sar HaMashkim's Asik with Paro should be dead and buried forever. Why in the world should I want to remind Paro about an episode where it was nearly my neck and where, in fact, the Sar HaOfen met his end? It would seem to me that with a person like Paro, you don't remind him of any of these episodes. And shouldn't someone as brilliant as Yosef HaTzadik assume something like that? The teretz is, there was a Havamina. Where did that Havamina come from? So the Chazon Ish, I can't say that, but the Chazon Ish can say it. He says, that's what the Medrash means, for Leipon El Rehovim, there was a little pigam in that great Midah of Bitochen. That's what I'm talking about. The Betach V'Hashem B'chol Libcha means that there is a full measure of Bitochen on that level. But it could be Nisyonis, which challenge a person that he doesn't have Bitochen. But that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Mitzatzif HaBitochen. Avada person has Bitochen. Avada person says, Rosh Hashanah is running the show. But then when it comes to push comes to shove, when it comes to Nisyonis, a person's heart doesn't really possess the Midah of Bitochen. That's Betach B'Hashem B'chol Libcha. The El Binoscha Al Tishoy. Zokta V'El Binoscha Al Tishoy Shloi Toyma Eftach B'Hashem Ach Ani M'chuyiv La'asais Uli Shoyin Gam Al Sichli. So this Inyan of Hishtadlus that everybody talks about is a big Masechta, and we really should could spend a half a year on it. There are different shitas and different deis, and there's a lot to say. And sometimes there is an inyan of shtadlus more, and sometimes there's dafkan inyan of shtadlus less. You know what I always say about shiduchim, that the best thing is to do absolutely nothing. The Brisker Rav said the same thing. The Brisker Rav said that all of the shtadlus in shiduchim is for one purpose only. You'll forgive me for using Yiddish. To baruik and denelvin, to calm the nerves. Person has a daughter or a son even, and it's already years gone by, and vuyid al shidduch, and you want to jump out the window. So to calm the nerves, you do this and you do that, and you call and you met. But the Eibishter sends the shidduch when it's supposed to happen. Somebody asked me once, then how come some people don't get married ever? So I answered him, Mehecha Taisa, that everybody has to be married. Who says that's the Ribbono Shalom's plan? Who says the Ribbono Shalom doesn't have inyonim? Sometimes it's a punishment. Sometimes it's other cheshbonos which we can't fathom. But Mehecha Taisa, that there's this thing that I'm guaranteed that I will have this or this or this or this in my life. There's no guarantee. Not that we know. If the guarantee exists, only the Ribbono Shalom knows that it exists. But if that shidduch is meant to be, it will happen. And there are thousands of stories. So when it came to my shidduchim, I basically followed my mahalach to the tremendous consternation, you should forgive me, of everybody around me. Baruch Hashem, maybe because my Rebbetzin does so many shidduchim for so many other people, so the Ribbono Shel Olam was very kind. But I really do not believe that his shtad was a key, it was a shmek tabak in shidduchim. What about parnos? It's a very different story. So what is the chiluk lemoshel between the two? So the answer is, it depends why you have to have a shtadlus for parnosa. Because be'emes, the whole shtadlus is a fantasy. Parnosa does not come because the person makes the shtadlus. There's no mathematical equation here. There's no, if you do A, then B must happen. And the biggest raya, which is irrefutable, you have loy lachachomim lechem. You have two people going into the same business at the same time. One is matzliach ba'ofen nifla, the other one falls flat on his face. And you cannot say this one was more charming, or this one was in a better neighborhood, or this one had a fancier store, or this one was more brilliant. It's not like that. Two people go into the same mitzvah. Sometimes two partners don't go into the same business. And for some reason, one has a hatzloch and the other one doesn't have a hatzloch. It's not like that. So what do you need the shtadlus for altogether? So some answer, because you cannot have something look like it's a neis nigla. You'll sit and do nothing and you'll be matzliach. It's like a neis. In the whole panoply of emuna issues, one of the issues is, to what extent is the Ribbono Shel Olam able to be megale himself without tilting the scale, without tipping it over and saying, well, it's so obvious that Hashem is there, I have to be ma'amin in him. Because emuna is always something that comes from within us. Vayaminu b'Hashem of Moshe Avdoi is dafka at the brinksmanship of apparent disaster, of imminent collapse. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say, look, it's only after Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe Avdoi that you can have, the Nachshon ben Aminadav has to go into the waters have to be raging, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the waters. And that's even when there's a Neis Nigla, that there's a Tzerich Lazer, and that only happened in very rare and very unusual circumstances. Otherwise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Batsina, as I mentioned in the previous shiurim, and everything that we see has to have the appearance of Derech HaTeva. But of course, it's not ever Derech HaTeva. So you have to have ishtadlus. That's one explanation. Another explanation is the explanation of the Ramchal. The Ramchal in the Mesilas Yesharim says we have to do ishtadlus because of a curse. B'zeyas apecha tochalecha. And that's part of the curse, that we have to plug ourselves. We have to suffer ourselves in the effort to make panosa. But he says here, Shalaitoima eftach b'Hashem achani mechuyiv lasli v'lishoyin gam al sichli, doesn't describe what the issue was. Even as a support. What does he mean? He means even as a secondary support. I rely on Hashem, and I trust that Hashem will do it, but I'll help him a little bit. The very famous Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim had a fellow taka, couldn't do a shidduch. And he got already a little bit older, and he had a beard, and the beard had gray in it. And he was very terrified that this would ruin his shidduchim. So he came to the Chafetz Chaim to ask him, maybe I could shave. I have a head to shave. So a lot of the litvisha were shaving. But he, Weiss, was had this chumrah, this elchayt in him, and he didn't shave. But now, when push comes to shove, you know, you got to do something. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, I'm going to tell you a story. There was a fellow that went on a train. And the train was going up a mountain, a very steep incline. And it was becoming obvious to the passengers in the car, the train, that the train was struggling in its effort. The engine was struggling in its effort to overcome that gravity. So what did he do? He was a nice fellow. So he gets out of the train, because the train's going so slow that he can get out of the train. And he goes behind and he starts to push. Zakhtar Chafetz Chaim, that's exactly what you're doing. You're in a moment where the train is going very slow up a steep incline. You have a nisayon. You think that you're going behind the train is gonna do anything? It's the same like the fellow who's going to push the train up the hill. That is the point of the going here. Afilu b'toyras mish'enes. You don't rely on your own devices, on your own seichel. So here you have, in the parentheses, it's repeated also in the Kol Eliyahu, the Sefer that came out many, many years ago, Kol Eliyahu, Anach, and the Gra. So they have this part. The Pasuk says, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha. You have it right here below. I printed out the Pasuk for you with its Nikudin. Pasuk in Tehillim, of course, Nun Hei. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, Vahu Yechalke Lecha. So what exactly Yehovcha is, I guess if a person looks at the Pasuk, he can imagine what it ought to be. But what is it precisely? So the Chachamim didn't know. That's what it says in the Gemara. Take a look in the Gemara. The same Gemara is in Megillah and Rosh Hashanah. They couldn't teach Yehovcha exactly. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chono, Zimno Chodo Haba Azilno Bahadei Ahutaya. In those days, they had many Goyim who were speaking Aramaic. So he went together with a certain schlepper who was a Goy, because Dorino Tuna, and I was holding a burden on my shoulders. Noisei Matu. So Omar Li, and he said this, Bedouin, this Aramean, said to me, Shkoil Yahavech, Vishadi Agamloi, take your burden and place it on my camel. So the Gemara is saying that the taich of Yahavech is your burden, that which your load, Hashlich al Hashem Yahavcha, throw upon Hashem your load. By the way, in Sifri Kabbalah and many Sifri Hasidus, they make a very big inyan of the word Al Hashem. But that's not for us to discuss right now. Al means even above the Midah of Hashem. But in any case, and that's how they teach also, Batis, Balochana Al Hashem, which we once spoke about in the Chaim Voloshin's Pshat. The Gemara says, Chana Yitichot Varim Klapi Malo. But in any case, that's what the Pasuk says. Hashlech Al Hashem Yehovcha, Omra Babachona Zim Nechot Abazim Nebadei Altaye Vekodarina Tuna, Va'omri Shkol Yehovich Vishodei Gamlos. Zok Tegoyin. How is it possible that they should not have a clue as to what the word Yehovcha means when anybody who looks at the Pasuk realizes right away that it means something like a burden or a masa or a load or a bundle? What else could it be? So he says, another thing he has, they also knew Aramaic. So if they have this Lashon, and it's a Lashon Sursi, or if it's a Hebrew word, if the Taya knew the Hebrew word, then they certainly knew the Hebrew word. So what's the pshat? What's going on? That they needed the Taya to touch it up. Acha inyon. So he says it's much more sophisticated than meets the eye. Shehoyo lehem sofek b'midas habitochon. They had a chakira in midas habitochon until that Taya came along. What was the chakira? This is to what extent do you need a shtadlus? Im tzarech ha'odom lasos besichloi v'yiftach b'shem Hashem sheyasa atoiv b'yenov, oi she'ein li'yishoyin klal u'klal ha'maisa besichloi. V'omru shebevadai tzarech ha'odom lasos besichloi. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give a person a seichel, if not that he should make the effort and make the attempt? And that's what we call ishtadlus. V'lach z'ach ha'dovah ha'tzarech, ach yiftach gam b'shem Hashem. To the ishtadlus, you have to have bitachon. For lachein koshel milas yehovcha, havele lichtov tzrochecha. It should have said, hashlech al Hashem tzrochecha. Very interesting. What's the difference yehovcha and tzrochecha l'gabi this nekuda? But he explains it further. Kivan shero shirabba babachon avidori atuna. He was carrying the load. V'ho yotzorich levakish v'liteng dvar malet tayosh yitl atuna l'gamo. He says, normally, if you're carrying a heavy load, and it's getting very heavy, and you see a schlepper who has a donkey, who has a camel, and that's his business, that's what he does. So what do? You take out a coin, and you offer the schlepper, do me a favor, please, take this coin, and take this burden off of my back, and that's his shtadlus. He says, what did he see? He saw that the offer was made by the Taya, even though he did absolutely nothing. The Taya suggested, why don't you put the masa on my camel? And that's what he says. Haya hu tzorich levakish litin varma l'taya. V'lo kein haya. Elo sha'ataya bikesh mimenu. V'oma loy shkoil ma sha'ata tzorich litin li. U'shadi agam loy. Keep what you want to give me. Just throw the burden on my camel. Im kein afilu b'ma sha'odom tzorich litin l'chaveru bar adover. Im yiyah min ha'shamayim. Os chaveru yivakish mimenu sha'yasa loy. You understand? In other words, if it's meant to be, then the panosa comes in such a peculiar way that people are begging at the door to be your customer. And you didn't do a thing. It's hard to be mastic such a thing because we're so busy with what you can do. I mean, everything that, there are classes in how to become more charming and how to become more successful in business and how to convince customers. And the whole of advertising, which is one massive cheftz of sheker, you know, you advertise a car with a picture of a woman. What does a woman have to do with a car? What does she have to do with the car? Fosat the satan, the teretz is, I want to attract you to buy the car, so I use every devious means, including, you know, your taiva and your kina and your this and your that. My volume. You'll be the only one on the block that has this. Mamish ma'ira takes advantage of all the koiches hakeim of a person. You know, then I'd be able to... I remember I was once walking to give my shir by the Sfarzim on Ocean Parkway. And in front of me were walking two youngsters. Yiddish kinder. And of course, it passed by, once you reach a certain point, very fancy houses and cars. It's like from an exotic showroom. So in one driveway there was parked one more expensive car than the other. None of there were three cars, not one of them was less than $60,000-$70,000. And I see that one is turning to the other. I don't, whatever they were talking about before, I don't think it was an excise and an Azivis, but whatever they were talking about before, they stopped and they look at this and they say, wow, three of them. So I was thinking to myself, why does a person need three cars? Maybe there were three people driving cars, but still, maybe it's one person. I was thinking maybe it's one person. Because that war, three of them, is worth calling the Alma. You're to be the only one in the entire neighborhood that has this new product. There's a new volume. So you sell with advertising. What's the taich? The taich is, I need to sell my product. I need to buy into your desire because otherwise I will be at the back of the pack. I will be a failure. I will lose my parnasa. And this is a constant stream which is nonstop negotiating with our minds and hearts that if you don't do it, no one will do it for you. Mamish the hefech of any midah bitachon. So that's a struggle that we have to simply translate our emuna into a bitachon lemaisa to reach the level of hashlecha Hashem Yehovcha that the Goyin is talking about, that I don't even have to do anything when it's normal to do, because if it's meant to be, he will do it. So the maisa with the nevadika with the train ticket. So the alta was waiting for the train, and the fellow next to him says, you have to buy a ticket over there. Don't forget. He says, I don't have any money for a ticket. That's why I'm not going over there. So he says, how are you going to get on the train without a ticket? He says, by the time the train comes, I'll have a ticket. So he says, but how are you going to have a ticket if the train's coming in an hour? Half an hour goes by. And this fellow grizzes and grizzes. He can't take it anymore. Finally, he runs at the last minute to the ticket master there, and he buys the ticket for the alta, and he says, here, take the ticket already. I told you I'll have a ticket.
There's
a nice of Shalodom. Yeah. Kikriyas Yamsuf, so Zivugam Shalodom and the nice of Shalodom are the two windows where the Rabban Shalom shows his Hashgacha more than in anything else. And that's exactly it. Because without the Rabban Shalom, nothing happens. And if a person has that Madrega of Bitachon, it's a very, very high level. You know how I know that? Ich bin doch ein Stück ein Rambam Mensch. The Rambam says it beferish. And not in Meir Nevuchim, in the halacha at the end of Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel. A very misunderstood halacha, by the way. Misunderstood in the sense that it's, the words are not hard to understand. It's not in Tumah V'Tara. But it's misconstrued. The Rambam, who tells you in the third Perek of Hilchos Talmud Torah, black on white, that you're not allowed to stick out your hand and ask for tzedakah. You're not allowed to be supported by the kupa and the tamchui of the gaboyim in order that you should be able to sit and learn Torah yom of the life. Yes or no?
Yes.
The Rambam says that even a person who's learning yom of the life has to be misparnis mimaisa yodav. By the way, derech agav, as I said many, many times, including, I believe, maybe even in this forum as well, the Rambam is there, taken by many, that you have to have a full-blown panos. Nothing could be further from the truth. That Rambam is Peregimel. Peregimel is the Perek of Keser Torah. The Rambam in Keser Torah says, Kachi darka shol Torah pas ba melech toicho mayim asur tishta aloretz tishon. In that Rambam, the Rambam spells out what does he mean by having a panos. Osem ma'at kidei chayov im tzorich. Ushar yoimim v'leilo yoisek batayla. This ma'at kedei chayov im tzorich means it's very hard to have such a matzav today, because today such jobs, such things don't exist. But when there was a time when somebody was a cobbler or a tailor, so he took a piece of garment and he had to weave or sew a dress. For that work, he would get enough to live for 2 weeks, let's say. Then the day that he finishes sewing the dress, he stops work altogether, and he learns Yom and Valayla a whole day. And then when the money runs out, he starts another dress. Or 2 days before the money runs out. In other words, he's always supposed to work in order to have, but just barely enough to survive, and if he has enough, he's not supposed to work at all. So this whole idea that the Rambam is the source of who knows what, of living on easy street, putting your feet up on a gold table and learning the rest of the time, that's ridiculous. The people who have their feet on a gold table, they don't know how to learn, they're not interested in learning, and they certainly cannot learn Yoyman V'Layla. So we have to understand the Rambam. But Afal Pikein, it is a fact that the Rambam says that he has to have some measure, as limited as it is, of Parnassus. It is true. Comes along the Rambam in Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, and he starts out by telling you that Shevet Levi in its entirety, Kohanim and Leviim all, did not have a chelik neither in the Biza, in the spoils of war, nor a chelik in Nachlas Eretz Yisrael. And he spells it out, and he asks why, and he explains because they are Chel Hashem, and they are trusting completely in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam provides for them. How does Ribbono Shel Olam provide for them? With the Matnas Kuna and Meiser and so on. That's how he provides for them. Then the Rambam concludes Hilchos Shmita V'Yovel, the last halacha in Sefer Zroim. He says, V'loi Shevet Levi Bilvat. And he doesn't mention Talmud Torah here at all. That's not the Nakuda. It's not a Hilchos Talmud Torah halacha. It's a Bitochen halacha. It's a concept of a person that is poirish from this world and is willing to trust absolutely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Porak mimenu ol cheshbonos harav meshachosh bnei adam. And he says, he goes back, Yashar kederech she'asor alakim. He takes that pasuk in Kohelet and he touches it up. He eliminates all the cheshbonos. He throws all of that overboard and he says, I trust completely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Rambam that he's Neskadish Kodesh Kadoshim and he's like the Kohen Gadol, meaning he can become an honorary member of Shevet Levi on the top. And what's the consequence? He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. He can't be from the Shoyarim and the Mishoyarim. He cannot do the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. So what does it mean that he's Niskadish Kodesh Kadoshim? Where is it Nageya? It's Nageya in what the Rambam has just finished talking about. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for Shevet Levi. He says such a person can rely absolutely and totally on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do nothing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for him something that it will take care of him. We're not talking about fancy things, but he will take care of him the way he takes care, as the Gemara in the end of Masechet Kedushin describes, of every Chayav Va'oif that trusts completely in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is the Rambam's Shita, that if you have that measure of commitment that Hashem will take care of me, Hashem minos chelki ata toimech garali. You are my portion. Hashem chelkecha v'nachaloscha. That, what Hashem said about Shevet Levi, David HaMelech says about himself. He's not from Shevet Levi. So what does it mean, Hashem minos chelki? HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. So the Rambam himself says this word, that you do not have to do an iota of ishtadlus. What's the chiluk between the Rambam's person in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perigimel? Such a person did not say, I rely completely on Hashem. He says, I rely on Tzedakah. On Matnas Bas of the Dom. You rely on Matnas Bas of the Dom, you can't take Tzedakah. You have to have a parnos. Minimal, but you have to have a parnos. But a person who leans back and says, I rely completely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the inyan of support, of survival, there's a promise that the Rambam has at the end of Shemitah V'Yovel, Hashem will take care of him. It has to be incredibly sincere. It has to be proven. It has to be real. But in the end, that is exactly what the Rambam says. And that's Hashlich al Hashem Yehovcha V'Hu Yechalka Lech. By the way, it's appropriate. I glad I printed it out for you. But there's a very, very famous moshul of the Dubna Magid on this pasuk, which I heard probably for the first time when I was 5 years old. It's a very easy moshul to see, even as a child. The Dubna Magid says, what's the pshat hashlich al Hashem Yehovcha? So he says, everyone who has any sense of emuna and bitachon knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides you with your health, with the air that you breathe, with the very fact that you're there. Everyone is masculine. When it comes to things like parnasa and other things like that, people start to think it's koichi v'yotzim yodi. Not in a nasty way, just they think, what's going to be? May I in yod? So he says there was a fellow, a rich man with a beautiful wagon, passes by on the road, this Nebuch, this fellow who can't even afford a driver. And he's schlepping a heavy burden. And he says to him, because he has Rachmanis on him, he says to him, come up on my wagon. We're headed in the same direction. He gets up on the wagon, and he's sitting there. And the rich man goes on. He turns around, and he sees something astonishing, that he's still carrying the weight of the masa is still on the oni's shoulders. He's still schlepping his thing. So he says, take it off your shoulders and put it down on the floor of the carriage. So the oni says to him, listen, I know you're a very big mative, but it's enough that you take me. You don't have to take my masa also. The Meiridik HaMashal, it's Mamish Ga'inus. Ga'inus. In such a story, you see Ga'inus. So he says the same thing. You have to know that the Ben Shalom can carry you, he can carry your masa also. You don't have to carry your masa. Maybe they could have. Yeah. So, I wanted to show you a very interesting thing. This same pasuk finds itself in a Medrash Tehillim in Mizmor Chof Beis and a Medrash Tehillim in Mizmor Nun Hei. In Chav Bey, in Nun Hei, that's where the Pasuk is. Hashlech al Hashem Yavcha. In Pasuk Chav, in Mizmor Chav Bey, it says, Goyel el Hashem yifalateim. Uksiv Goyel al Hashem darkecha. So Rav Bibi b'shem Rav Omar galei v'galgeil. They had a very strong instinct for mnemonics, simply because everything was Baal Peh. So they had all kinds of, like for example, in the Cheshbon, Tosfos brings it, Agos Maimonides on the Rambam brings it. From the time of the Ga'onim, there was a Cheshbon of how to connect the Zmanim and the Parshiyos. So, for example, generally speaking, Bamidbar is before Shavuos, right? Nitzavim is before Rosh Hashanah, and so on. So they had a mnemonic device to tell you that. You know, Imdu V'tiku, Atem Nitzavim is Omdim, Imdu V'tiku, Minu V'atzru, count is Bamidbar, Choy Meshatkudim, and Atzru is Atzeres. So, you know, Tzumu V'salu, the Tzoyim of Tisha B'Av is always before V'eschanan El Hashem, Tzumu V'salu. I mean, this was a mnemonic device. They had these poetic expressions. So here there's a poetic expression. Galei the Galgel. So what's Galei the Galgel? Zokta Galei Avaynoisecha. Reveal your Avaynos. Galei. Umode v'ozev Yerucham. As they state in Mishlei. The Galgel. Galei the Galgel. Galgel olai v'anitoin. Throw it all on my shoulders, and I will carry it for you. Galgel. Roll it over. You have in the IRA, what is it called? IRA? Or rollover, yeah. Roll it over. That's Galgel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, roll it over on me. Galei the Galgel. Galgel olai v'ani toin. Hadohu d'chsiv hashlich al Hashem Yehovcha. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Now listen to the Moshel, though, because it's a little bit different than what we have from Rabbi Bavachon and Gemar Megillah. Leben Melech Shenosnu Lo Korah Liton Ba'Ovea. He had a very heavy beam, and he had to carry it in a certain way, and it was a tremendous, tremendous load for him. And he was struggling. He was struggling to carry the beam. V'ro'ohu Oviv, Omal en Hovu Alai Kol Mada Atun Boi V'anotoyin. Put on me anything you, any amount that you want, and I'll carry it for you. Atatis Hergish, for his son, is that even for him it'll also be a burden in the story, and it's a loss of a dog. He says, no, but Atata doesn't feel that way. Whatever you can do for your child. So if you see that for him, he's struggling under the burden, you say, give it to me. I'll carry it for you. Dr. Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Kach Omer Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Goylu Avonoseichem, reveal your Averis, do tshuva, V'anitoy, and I will carry the whole burden for you. So that's a little bit of a different shot. Number one, we're talking about Averis, and we're talking about the consequences of Averis, and we're not talking about Panosa. Also, the next Mizma. Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha v'hu yechalka lecha. Boso v'dom yesh loy patron. Patron in the original Aramaic from the Greek is the same pretty much as it is today, the word patron. V'hoylech etzlo. Pam Achas, for whom a Kabbalah. He has a patron, somebody that's helping him out, and he goes to him. The first time he goes, he helps him. Then he goes again, he helps him again. Shlishis Einay Nirilay. The third time around already, he disappears. he doesn't want to be, you know, what is it? Revius Einay Nifnilay. The fourth time around, because he saw you, he disappeared. So then the person who went doesn't go anymore. It's like, you understand, it goes like, the first time he gave, the second time he gave begrudgingly, the third time he stopped showing up when the appointment was, call me when? I don't know, you'll call me. You'll call me. So the fourth time he doesn't even bother. Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Eino Kein, Kolz Man Shato Matriach Olov Hu Mekabloch, Hevi Hashlich Al Hashem Yehovcha V'hu Yechal Kalecha, Hashlich Olov Toyanoch V'hu Dori Bahadoch. So the emphasis here is that there's no such thing as too many times. There's no such thing as you've exhausted your credits. Very interesting. Bitachon can always assume, that's what the Rambam said, that, and the person can rely on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. I had a verb. And I wanted to ask you, a taiva, if anyone can find a makor that says this vart. The pasuk says, "Ritzayin yirei of Yasa, v'shavosam yishma v'yoshia." Is l'cha'ira, and this question many sfarim ask, but they don't give this particular teretz that I wanted to give. And it bothers me. And I'm thinking that I must have seen it somewhere. But Tzayin Yirei of Yaseh is that a person has a desire to accomplish something, to do a chesed, a taiva, or he has a need, and he's an unbelievable madrega, it's called Yireyov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do the ratzon of that Yarei. Would L'chayra be mashma, that therefore he's never in a moment of desperation, because he has a need, and the need is fulfilled. So how is it that the next part of the pasuk is Veshav Osam Yishma, which sounds like the person is really in trouble, and is desperate, the Yoshiaim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save them. Save them is the last minute thing. It's a last resort matzav. So what's the Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh? So how do you reconcile the first half of the pasuk with the second half of the pasuk? So the Brisker Rav speaks about this and says something very interesting in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, of his father. So Reb Chaim here has a very sophisticated cheshbin, which you'll see in a moment, about this maisa that the Gemara describes about Reb Chanina ben Dosa. Everybody knows that Reb Chanina ben Dosa discovered that because he had received some benevolence from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ba'olam hazeh, he was going to lose a chelek of his zechuyos ba'olam haba. And it was revealed to him in the manner of a table that's missing a leg. So when he discovered that that is what the consequences of his, of the benevolence ba'olam hazeh, he asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to take it back. And the Gemara says that that's even harder. To ask the Ribbono Shel Olam to take back is even harder. So the Gemara hazeh. Reb Chanina ben Dosa ya'ani gadol uboi rachmi v'nosn loy regel zav. They gave him a bar of gold in the shape of a table leg. Ro'a b'chaloyim that tzadikim achli al shulchan zav shel dalid raglayim. Shulchan shel arba. Ve'ihu agimul raglayim. And his table is missing a leg. It only has three legs. Boy Rachami, so he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shaklu, and the hand came down and it took back the regel shel zahav. It took back that benevolence. Tana, Godel ho yohanes ha'achrin min ha'rishon, d'gmiri, d'meyav yavi mishkaloi shakli. Once he gives, azeb like this. And he was willing to take it back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to take it back. That is an unbelievable madrega of Reb Chanina ben Dosa. Because normally it would never happen that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, he would retrieve it. So the fact that he was willing to listen to the tefillah of Reb Chanina ben Dosa to take back the leg of Zohar that was given to him, that he should no longer be poor, and now he's poor again, that was a greater miracle, a greater accomplishment on the part of Reb Chanina ben Dosa than that he got the leg in the first place. So he says, "Va'atam is binding," says Reb Chaim. The lozeh halo yesh gimel dargis b'tzadikim. So he says, you see from this, if we want to think in those terms, that we're talking about three madregas. Aleph, sheloi noisnun loy klal ba'olam hazeh. Beis, shenoisnun loy ba'olam hazeh, v'loy loikhim b'chazara. Because it says in the Gemara that this was an incredible accomplishment of Reb Chanina ben Dosa. So vice versa, that there are times that you can get, because you asked for it, and that's it. And whatever the consequences who are in Olam Haba, you lose, you lose. But you got what you got, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not take it back. Gimel, the noisnun loy b'olam hazeh, like the story, Gimel is the story of Reb Chanina ben Dosa. He gave him b'olam hazeh, and when he discovered that in the Chalom, that he lost a chelik in Olam Haba, and there's only three legs instead of four legs, and everybody else has four, he asked, and he took it back. So Gimel, Noisnoi Bolam Hazeh, Beloi Kim Chazor. Vim Kain, Tzadik Shu B'Darga Beis, Hareyu Yoyse Gorua Mitzadik Shu B'Darga Aleph, Shachakach Kishenosn Loi, right? V'yire Sheyotze Mizeh Roa, Ukuruv Dut Reb Chanina Ben Dosa, that he saw in the Chaloim, but Loi Lokhu Mimenu B'Chazorah. V'im Hoyorak B'Darga Aleph, It's an amazing thing. He says that if you look at these tzaddikim and you'd ask a balabas, so to speak, some person doesn't think deeply. You ask him, tell me something. In these three madregas, who's a bigger tzaddik? The tzaddik that you don't give him at all, or the tzaddik that you give him, but once you give him, you don't take it back even if he asks? For that, you need the biggest tzaddik, Reb Chanina ben Daisa. That's number three. But who's bigger, one or two? The person says, of course two, because at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him what he asks for. But think about it for a moment. It's like Oysher Shomer Leba'olav L'Ra'asai. Because why did Reb Chanina ben Daisa ask for it to be given back? Because he saw that the cheshbon is no good. And look what I'm losing. And right? So there are other ways, by the way, to explain the whole ma'aser with Reb Chanina ben Daisa. Because kol ha'olam nizam b'shulchanina b'ni, the fact that he got the regel shalzov transformed Reb Chanina ben Daisa into a different person entirely. So it's not so poshut. But in any case, the way the Brisker Rav is saying it, he says, so l'cha'ira, the second person is much worse off than the first. You always lose. So he says, v'nira dezel bir ha'posuk, the masai ritzayn yirei of yaseh, kasher shav osam yishma v'yoshiyem. The im achar kach gam shav osam sheyitchu mehem ma shenosno lehem shoymim. B'tzadik kozeh ritzaynum yaseh koydim. Avol kisher shav osam lo yishma lo kachas mehem es ma shenosno loy, haynu deinenu rak bedarga beiz, azay lechat chila lo yitnu lehem, kedei shloy teitze mizero lehem. So the Brisker Rav, in the name of Reb Chaim, is Mechadish Chidush Nifla. He says that there is no middle tzaddik. It never happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness is such that he's only going to give somebody if the person has the option of returning it. And it's up to him. But if he doesn't have the option of returning it, and there will always be a nikri, there will always be a reduction in his Olam Haba as a result of what he gets in Olam Hazeh, it turns out that the matana is not a matana. It's a patch. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't give him altogether. So when will be Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, that he can ask for a leg of gold, a bar of gold, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply throws it at his doorstep? When it will be possible that Eshavosam, when he starts to scream, but I don't want this, Yishma V'yoshiyah. I wanted to suggest another pshat in this book. From day one, whenever I had the psukim in Parshas Shmois, and Va'era and Boi, and you see the incredible suffering of Klal Yisrael, which is indescribable for so many, many centuries. Kaminyan Redu, suffering, untold suffering. And then you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of Mitzrayim. It would seem that a benevolent, kind, loving melech, bas of Adam, would want to, you know, people that came out of the concentration camps and they were totally emaciated and desperate, that you had crews of psychologists and all kinds of people coming to them, you know, the American army, and trying to take care of them and to give them encouragement. And here you have an unbelievable opposite, brinksmanship like you never saw. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes them to the edge of the precipice, and everybody's convinced that it's the end. And it happens not once, it happens over and over. And Klal Yisrael, okay, Erev Rav Hain, Erev Rav Moga. But the whole Mahalach seems to be that at the last minute, just at the 11th hour, that's when the Ribon Shlolem comes in with the Yeshua. What's the pshat? So there are many terutzim. There are many different terutzim. Min hakotza al hakotza. But I think b'nageya this pasuk. The way the Ribbono Shlom does Ritzon Yireyav is always in a matzav which is the eshavosam yishma v'yeshiyeh. It's never in a matzav that it's Tuesday morning, everything is wonderful, I send a telegram to the Ribbono Shlom, I say, Ribbono Shlom, I need this, and I need this, and I want this, and I want that. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll be right with you. I'll take care of it. I'll send it with UPS. That's not how it works. There's no Ritzon Yireh Yaseh that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I am yours to dreya in and dreya er, and whatever your Ritzon is, that's what I will do. The Pshat is because in the Ritzon Yireh Yaseh, there has to remain Yireh. And the only way it remains Yireh is where there's a massive infusion of bitochem. And a person has to have the confidence that no matter how difficult the matzav is, and no matter how desperate, and it doesn't have to be my desperation, because if a person's a very big tzaddik, he can take over somebody else's desperation. So it's not pshat, you sit in your easy chair, and you're the Rebbe, and somebody comes in, and he has a tremendous tzara, and you are kind of like a manager of people's tzaras, and you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, he needs a baby. Okay? You give him a baby, and he hears a voice, Shemaim, okay? In 9 months, he has a yingala. You go back to the fellow and say, okay, in 9 months you have a yingala. It's not like that. And I'll bring you the biggest raya. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had, I'll bring you two rayas. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a problem, his children are sick, he can't ask directly. He goes to Rabbi Hanina ben Dais. His wife asks him, you're a bigger Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Hanina ben Dais. So he says, it's Eino Yidoy Masar B'Fnei Melech and Eved B'Fnei Melech. Eved B'Fnei Melech has entree. Eved B'Fnei Melech. Who has more koyach with the Melech in terms of his presence and authority and bailus? Avada the Sar. I mean, maybe the Sar doesn't have the enough measure of koyach either, but certainly has 1,000 times more than the Eved. The Eved is the shoeshine boy. Now the Teretz is the Eved has entree. But what's the entree for? For Hishtabuas, for Bakosha, for Tzaoka. I'll bring you another raya. The Gemara, Chazal tells us, Mishnah Gemara, how do you know that the tefillah was miskabel? If it comes out of the mouth. What kind of tefillah? What do you need a tefillah? You're making demand. Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what has to be. There's no such thing. It's tefillah. Tefillah means me'um kalev. Tefillah means shavosam. That's exactly shavosam. And if it's not Shavosam, the whole Mahalach, there's no Ritzon Yireh Yaseh. That's what I'm looking for a Makor to say this verse, this Yisoid. That Ritzon Yireh Yaseh is through the medium of Es Shavosam Yishma V'Yoshiyim.
I don't have a riot in Kasha. There's a Terem Yikrov Ani Ene. You don't even need to talk.
That's a different story. Terem Yikrov Ani Ene, Oidei Medabrim V'Ani Eshma. First of all, I'm not 100% sure that that applies to a yochid, to stam a yochid. You know, but Terem Yikrov on the end means that when you have a hergesh of relying completely on the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you know that you need the Ribbono Shel Olam desperately for this, and you did tshuva, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't necessarily wait for the bakosha to come out of your mouth, because he feels the bakosha that's in the heart. But that's not Ritzon Yireh of Yaseh. Ritzon Yireh of Yaseh, the way most people think, is it's a legislation. You know, I've decided, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam yields to me. And there's Sfarim that write him in this signai. But I wanted to say that that's only in the darga of Shavosam Yishma V'Yashiyem. Why? Because it cannot be a balabos over the Eibishter. It has to remain Yireh. And the way it remains Yireyov is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ever give it to you carte blanche. It's not like you have a credit card that you can put into the machine and take out as much money as you want in the ATM. It doesn't work like that.
Even
Tzadik goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm talking about. So in any case, that's what I wanted to see if there's a makar for this Torah.